Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dead as a Dodo by Haley Edwards, narrated by Stephanie Richardson. Chapter 1. The weight of my age pressed me into the couch, the wiry springs jabbing me, and I groaned through the bright sting as Betty poured peroxide over a deep gash down my right side. I'd earned it in a skirmish with an ornery jackalope who had the gall to gore me for relocating her and her babies after the damn fool thing gave birth in a slight depression on Mayor Tate's prize-winning front lawn. Jackalopes, in my humble opinion, combined the worst hair traits with a rack of sharp antlers. Weirdly enough, they were also one of the most counterfeited taxidermy mounts. Poor humans thought they were so crafty, sticking tiny deer antlers on hare heads when the West, mainly Texas, was lousy with the real thing. Though I suppose, being human, they had no way of knowing that. I don't want to hear it. Betty capped the bottle, then moved on to smearing a yellow-green salve with a rotten egg stink across the raw marks and the single puncture wound. You did this to yourself. Had Wally been here when I woke before dawn in a cold sweat, he could have talked sense into me. But Wally hadn't been here. He still wasn't here, and I had no idea when to expect him back. Uncle Wally and I are off to watch the will-o'-the-wisp migration. That was the note Xander left taped above the Velcro strips where I stuck Wally before falling asleep. Once he and Wally got home, after I made sure they were safe and sound, then I would murder them. Last I checked, I grumbled at Betty, I don't have antlers, so I most certainly didn't do this to myself. Ha! She shifted to packing the deepest injury with a mix of dried herbs. That was a joke, right? I wouldn't be in this mess if her kid hadn't spirited away my husband, which I had explained to her at maximum volume the second she rolled through the front door with a first aid kit balanced across her knees. Why are you so hostile? I wriggled deeper into the cushions to escape her. I'm the wronged party. Mm-hmm. Unwilling to incriminate her youngest son, she mumbled a non-answer. That was all she had to say on the topic of Wally's abduction, beyond assuring me she wasn't worried about either of them, because Xander would protect his uncle. If Xander gave a fig about Wally's safety, he would have left his uncle hanging right where he found him. Hmph. Are you trying to tell me I'm overreacting? That I'm wrong to be worried for my husband, who was cursed into the body of a singing fish on a plaque your son took God only knows where? Wally is collectible. He could get stolen and auctioned off on eBay, and it would be all Xander's fault. Maybe, just maybe, I hadn't been thinking straight when I strapped on Bam Bam and stomped off in the pre-dawn hours to distract myself from the hurt of waking alone, betrayed by two of the people I loved most in this world. But I wasn't about to give her the satisfaction of admitting I knew I had acted a fool. You are so full of self-righteous bullshit, I have to scrape off my shoes every time I leave your house. Ow. I flinched away from her stabby fingers. Can you be more careful? Pretty sure her jabbing me was yet another attempt to teach me a lesson about the pitfalls of gallivanting off on quests without backup. As if a jackalope even qualified as a side quest. Had the mama not been on high alert after a birthing, I would have gotten the drop on her. Hmm. A wicked light came to life in her eyes. Can you tell me about your date with Pastor Joe? This must be how it felt to make a deal with the devil, but gossip was the less painful evil. It wasn't a date, I growled from between clenched teeth. He had a spare ticket. to an MMA match, which I quickly realized held about as much appeal for him as a fashion show would have held for me. He was a bit too queasy for ringside. The fresh blood made him squeamish. A spare ticket he purchased for you. She tacked on an unholy grin. He paid for your dinner, too. I bought my own dinner, thank you. As her touch gentled with her distraction, I fed her more details. It was a pizza buffet, not an intimate candlelit dinner, and a girls' softball team headed to nationals was hogging the pepperoni. Kids were crawling all over the place. I counted 10 babies. And I had been grateful to every single one of them for not leaving me alone with my date. Not exactly romantic. A thoughtful expression settled across her features that I did not like one bit. How did Wally take it? Fine, or so I had thought. Until he pulled his vanishing trick. Now I was second-guessing myself. Good Lord, what if he left me over this? What if he never came back? What if he was gone for good? For a solid minute, Betty watched me squirm, then pursed her lips. Hmm. Stop humming and mhmming at me. A hard thud against the front door jerked me to attention, and I tugged my housecoat closed over the bandages. Surprise lent me an adrenaline boost I used to stand while Betty spun her scooter clockwise. I didn't sense the perimeter alarm. I took a step. Whoever it is, they're allowed to be here. Pain must have dulled the warning tingle that alerted me to guests, solidifying my belief it was someone always welcome in my home. Otherwise, the wards would have pestered me until I acknowledged them. Sit back down. You're hurt. She shoved me hard enough I hit the cushions and bounced, convinced it was Xander, that if I reached him first, I would throttle him. I'll answer it. That blasted scooter was quicker than her walker, and faster than me too when she kicked it into high gear. I wasn't about to let her help Xander escape, so I gave her a head start, then crept up behind her, prepared to climb over her and her scooter to reach my nephew. But it wasn't Xander at the door. Zack stood on the porch, cradling a limp woman in a bridal carry. Zeb stood beside them, his shirt soaked through with blood. Chapter 2. The Middles, her middle sons, wore matching grave expressions as Betty and I grappled in the doorway. Who? Betty poised to rise from her seat, trying to glimpse the woman's face. What? Sit your butt down. I elbowed past her. As for you two, answer your mother. This is Bernie. Zack hitched her up higher. She works for Sweetwater Construction. The Sweetwater Pack, to which the Middles belonged, owned a small construction company. They kept a tight crew, mostly shifters from their pack and their human family members. Job opportunities were scarce in small towns, even rarer for paras, and Sweetwater was doing their part to employ locals. Get in here. I hustled the boys into the kitchen and cleaned the condiment carousel Ida brought me last year for Christmas off the table to give us a clean, flat surface. You know the drill. Lord knows I had bandaged enough scraped knees, stitched my fair share of wounds, and set a broken bone or two sitting right here at this table. Witchlight gave all its agents a basic grasp of first aid, but I had learned more in the field from other agents than I ever had in the classroom, and those skills had never come in handy so much as when Betty started growing her family. Zack lowered Bernie while I arranged her limbs to make her as comfortable as possible. Not that she had any idea either way. The poor thing had lost so much blood, she didn't even whimper. Once we got her settled, he started digging out supplies while Betty called in the coven to help. Start talking, boys. I ran a sink full of hot, soapy water. How did this happen?
We got to work before dawn.
Zack thumped the first aid kit onto the scratched and dented wood.
We were doing our safety checks, as usual, when we picked up the scent of blood.
Bernadette, is a falcon shifter. He stepped back to give Zeb room to hand over the old kitchen towels I kept washed and bleached for just such occasions.
I thought maybe she got shot down. She likes to fly into work. But her heart was almost torn from her chest.
That perked Betty's ears, and she rolled in closer for a look.
A black witch?
A black witch might eat the heart of a shifter in a pinch, but they preferred feasting on white witches, like my coven and me. Except we had so little magic between us, they mostly left us alone.
She doesn't smell like black magic.
I thanked my lucky stars for it, too. This is something else.
We didn't smell any magic.
Zack ruffled his sweaty hair and it stood on end.
Only blood.
Zeb fixed his stare on me, dipped his gaze to my injured side, then raised an eyebrow. Only then did Zack catch his brother's drift, and he crinkled his forehead at me in question.
I'm fine. I waved off their concern. Let's focus on the girl bleeding to death on my table for now.
Neither of them looked happy about the deflection, but Bernie required my full attention.
Scissors!
I opened my hand, and Betty slapped them across my palm. We need to get this shirt off.
Given the shifter outlook on nudity, and the fact Bernie balanced a hair's breadth from death, I didn't fret about preserving her modesty.
I cut through her tee, and then her bra. Once I cleared that away, I got an eyeful of what Zack had meant, and the raw mass of her chest made me queasy. Had there been a whiff of black magic on her, I wouldn't have been shocked. A black witch's talons dealt these exact injuries on their prey. But the middles would have scented one a mile away. The stench of a black witch was like standing next to a full restaurant dumpster during the height of Alabama's summer.
No phone.
Zack gathered her things as I removed them.
She must have dropped it during the attack.
She was clothed.
Betty talked it out.
She must have already flown in, shifted, then dressed for work.
Curious where she would have stashed her outfit, I asked the boys.
Do you have porta-potties?
Zeb stuck out his hand and tilted it from one side to the other.
A member of the pack has gone into business renting these fancy mobile toilet trailers,
Zack explained.
It gives our employees a clean area to keep their clothes and privacy from humans.
Air-conditioned. Zeb grunted, clearly impressed with that feature above the others.
That too.
Zack shared a grin with him, but then he sobered.
Bernie was wearing a flannel shirt when he found her.
He refocused on his mother's line of thought.
We took it off her, and Zeb used it to staunch the bleeding on the drive over. Whoever did this to her, she didn't have time to remove her clothes and shift before they struck.
Check the toilets, I told them. Her attacker could have picked the lock and hidden in one to get the drop on her. Have there been any other instances of violence?
Betty sounded every inch the mama bear, despite being a witch.
Has she had a nasty breakup recently? Does she have bad blood with anyone? Has she been thinking of issuing a challenge to move up in the pack?
Challenges for higher rank within a pack got ugly fast. But only honest wins counted, and witnesses were a prerequisite for making the ruling stick.
Not as far as we know.
He exchanged glances with Zeb, who might as well share a psychic connection with the brother who was more like his best friend than a sibling.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
He shifted his attention to me. The only recent issue we've had was when a drifter showed up at the new Savin Smile
We're building off the highway near Elmore. He issued a challenge to me, thinking I was the Alpha. But I explained he would have to talk to Jo Beth if he wanted to fight her for the pack.
Jo Beth Thompson, the Alpha Sow of Sweetwater. Sweetwater was a catch-all pack the Middles joined after graduation, and Jo Beth was the biggest, meanest bear I ever did see. Hard to believe she packed all that muscle and attitude into her 5-foot-nothing human body. She was cute as a bug's ear, a dead ringer for a young Judy Garland, but you didn't hear me say that.
Murdoch. Zeb reminded his brother, his distaste plain.
Murdoch? I glanced between them. Who's that?
The Murdoch pack, Zack explained. The Drifter joined them after Jo Beth won their match. A prickle along my senses alerted me to the arrival of more guests before I heard car doors slamming. Joan burst through the front door wearing a soft brown jumpsuit with black boots, hair sticking out everywhere, her massive purse slapping against her hip, and sucked in a sharp breath.
I brought birdseed,
she panted, hauling out a plastic bag and holding it triumphant above her head.
That's, I settled on, helpful.
Set it by the toaster,
Betty ordered her, then spoke to me from the side of her mouth.
Good Lord.
You told her Falcon Shifter and not Falcon, right?
How many falcons do you know that eat Wild Wonders fruit and nut blend?
I didn't waste time wondering. If I hadn't managed to figure out Joan during the decades of our friendship, I wasn't going to crack the code in the next few minutes. Checking with the boys, Betty asked,
Do we need to call Bernie's people?
Zeb flashed his phone screen at her, showing he had texted Jo Beth and told her where to come.
Did you bring the crystals?
I located Joan, who had dropped to her hands and knees to search under my sink for God only knows what. We'll need at least 2.
Oh.
She produced a hummingbird feeder covered in an inch of dust.
Yes.
She set the feeder by the sink, then hauled herself onto her feet using the counter. She located a magic-infused quartz deep in her bag as 2 more familiar car doors slammed. She placed 1 crystal each at the head and foot of the table. The girls didn't stand on ceremony. There was no knock, just a breeze as they blew into the house. Ida swept into the room dressed in a flouncy navy blue and white polka dot dress. Her hair was slicked back in a high ponytail, and loose ringlets framed her face. Her white pumps, thankfully, were patent leather. She could wipe the blood right off them. Flo strode in wearing a crimson pantsuit with her hair done up in a French twist. Her mouth was painted a bloody shade that matched Bernie's gaping wound, and her black stilettos added a good 2 inches to her height. They skipped hellos in favor of joining hands with Betty, Joan, and me as we formed a tight circle around Bernie. While Joan harmonized our powers into 1 smooth wave of magic, we began a healing chant that drew its power from the quartz rather than us. As Bernie's ragged flesh sealed, the tender skin turning bright pink, we let out a collective sigh of relief. As depleted as the quartz, the 5 of us sank into chairs surrounding our patient, beads of sweat dotting our foreheads, while the Middles poured us a round of scotches to put the fire back in our bellies. All that was left to do now was wait and pray.
Chapter 3.
Not 20 minutes after we stabilized Bernie, a tremor ran through my wards, alerting me I had guests. Figuring the stronger Zap was Jo Beth, I sent Zack on ahead to fetch her while Zeb stayed behind with us to watch over the recovering packmate.
Auntie L,
Zack hollered from the yard like he hadn't been raised better.
You've got company.
I'm the one who told you. I whipped my head toward Zeb as it hit me. Human company? Zeb gave a firm nod, then plucked at the front of his ruined shirt, reminding me I wasn't dressed to entertain. Land of Goshen, I swore. Who has timing this bad? A smile tried its best to crack Zeb's stern expression, but his concern for Bernie won out. Flo was less restrained in her glee after she shoved from the table and pressed her face in the window.
Oh, my.
She fanned her face.
Your boyfriend is here, Ellie.
Pastor Joe?
Betty required no further encouragement to zip to her side.
He even brought flowers.
His name reminded me that my husband had yet to return home, and my heart sank like an anchor. Agreeing to go on a date with Pastor Joe had been Wally's idea. I only went to prove him wrong, and Joe had proven me right to doubt. As if I could get serious with someone who blanched at the sight of blood. I don't have time for this. I grabbed Joan, the least dingy of us, by the arm. Tell him I'm not home.
But you are home.
She set down the seed she had been separating into piles of fruits, nuts, and sunflower kernels.
Your yard is also full of cars.
Of all the times for her to speak sense, she had to point out the flaws in my plan right now.
I overheard Pastor Joe mention he's thinking of growing his own oyster mushrooms in his basement.
Ida lied through her flower-pink lips.
I bet he would love pointers from someone more experienced.
Oysters?
Joan zoned out for a beat.
They are the easiest species to cultivate for beginners.
Oh?
Ida set her hands on Joan's shoulders and aimed her at him.
You two have so much to discuss.
Pearl oysters are another variety that might interest him, as well as king oysters.
She ambled onto the porch.
There are even pink, blue, and golden oyster mushrooms. Pinks resemble a rose blossom.
Ida began shutting the door on her heels.
Larger, of course, and limpier, asymmetrical.
The latch clicked into place behind her, muffling her voice.
They aren't much like rose blossoms, really, now that I think about it.
Well,
Betty chortled. If you wanted to get rid of your suitor for good, you've done it. If I could be so lucky. I rubbed the skin over my breastbone. I'm going to wash up and change. Joan was right. I couldn't avoid Pastor Joe. I had to send him off myself.
You're dolling up for him?
Flo pivoted toward me, hand on her hip, bright nails flashing.
You two must be serious.
Humans tend to panic at the sight of blood splattering your clothes and vital organs clumping in your hair. I struck my own pose. However, if you're daring me to walk out there as is, I'm happy to oblige. That would break things off with a loud snap for sure.
You wouldn't dare. Ida breathed.
What am I saying? She charged me. Of course you would. When Ida wrapped her arms around my waist to hold me still, I let out an involuntary groan as my aching ribs protested her restraint.
Ouch. I've been hit by pillows stronger than Ida.
Betty peeled herself from the window.
Stop being a baby.
Are you hurt? Ida recoiled, searching my face. I thought the blood was all Bernie's, but...
I did too.
Flo dropped her arms to her sides.
What did you do this time?
Concern crept into her features, as much as the Botox allowed anyway. Then again, Maybe I imagined the twitch in her forehead that wanted to be a wrinkle of concern. Her skin was too flawless to be sure.
Did you help the Middles retrieve Bernie?
Ida fussed over me. I didn't realize you were there. Zeb, never one to snitch, stared at the floor to avoid outing me. I had a disagreement with a mama jackalope. I glowered at Betty, wanting to throw her, and her no-good youngest son, under the bus for my diminished mental capacity at the time. But I didn't have the heart to explain the Wally situation again. Nurse Betty has already doctored my wounds, though she hadn't healed me with magic, out of spite. Had Bernie not arrived when she did, in the condition she was in, I might have spent magic on healing myself, but her need far outweighed mine.
Did I miss a call?
Ida checked her phone, her frown deepening.
When did this happen?
Ida, you're a dear, but you know how our fearless leader operates.
Flo's lips, possibly the most mobile part of her face these days, puckered.
Ellie saw an opportunity to act a fool, and she took it.
I was not acting a fool. I jerked on my collar. The jackalope den was in the mayor's front yard.
Ah,
Flo hummed low in her throat.
There was a potential exposure crisis on our hands, and you took it upon yourself to handle the problem.
She nodded.
I'm sure a little old lady limping away from the scene, all black and blue, was much less alarming to bystanders.
There were no bystanders. I turned on my heel and left them to chastise thin air. I was careful. Even with Joan running interference with her inexhaustible knowledge of fungi, I didn't have time for a shower. Avoiding my gaze in the mirror, I stripped down to my underwear, then wet a washcloth to scrub myself clean. That worked for about 5 minutes. Then I had no choice but to check my reflection. Mottled purple discolored my left cheek, smudging that side of my jaw with yellow and a touch of green for flair. Bernie's blood must have covered a multitude of sins for the girls not to notice this sooner. There was nothing for it. I couldn't face Pastor Joe looking like this. As much as I hated wasting magic on vanity, I cast a light concealing spell on my face. Bare feet slapping across the planks, I marched into the kitchen dressed in a fresh floral housecoat with my hair tamed into a bun. I didn't waste time on shoes, just hit the porch and took the steps in time to catch a smudge of brown fur blending into the woods. A mule kicked me square in the heart. That was how it felt. But the bear was the wrong color, which meant Xander and my wayward husband were still MIA. Since Pastor Joe and Joan stood alone near his car, Zack must have used her arrival to make his escape. Smart folks didn't keep alphas waiting, especially when they had an injured packmate on sight. To hurry things along, I used a touch more magic to keep my steps even so as not to betray the extent of my injuries. Pastor Joe was the chivalrous type, and I didn't want him offering to help me into the house. Betty patching me up was one thing, but I wasn't about to let Pastor Joe play doctor with me.
Ellie,
Pastor Joe called over Joan's gushing recitation of Pleurotus Austriatus.
I'm so glad to see you.
The heavy relief in his voice might have flattered if his wild eyes hadn't been begging me to save him. How can I help you, Pastor Joe? I used his title to enforce the distance between us. The girls and I are having a late breakfast. I left no room for him to wheedle an invitation. If he couldn't handle MMA, then he sure couldn't stomach Bernie. Yardbirds only.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?